Syntech CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.
The Lives of the Prophets, Part 1.
Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallam.
They lost in the battle of dialogue. They lost. Up till that moment, it was a dialogue between Ibrahim and them. Whenever the kuffar lose in the battle of dialogue, they don't admit. And they go to the next level. And that is actual fighting and physical fighting. They did that with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a dialogue with them. And they were arguing in the beginning, and they obviously definitely lost. You cannot stand against the hujjah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the evidence of Quran. You can't stand against it. So when they lost in the field of dialogue, then they resorted to force. قَالُوا حَرِّقُوا, burn him. We can't deal with him. We can't debate with him with our minds. Burn him.
قَالُوا حَرِّقُوهُ وَانْصُرُوا آلِهَتَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ.
They said, burn him and help your gods if you will be doing. Burn him. This is an admission of failure. When they said burn him, this is an admission of failure. It's an admission from their side that they're not able to have a dialogue with him. They lost. They resulted to force. It says in the books of tafsir that they set up a fire. It took them days and days to gather the wood for it. And they set up this trench and they filled it with logs. And they set fire to it. And the flames were so high that a bird would fly over it and fall down dead. Huge fire. And they had to throw Ibrahim with a catapult, manjaniq. So they put Ibrahim in this catapult and they threw him in the fire. Ibrahim landed in the fire. Fire, which we know, burns. But who's the one who created fire? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who's the one who made fire burn? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are the laws of nature mandatory on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah has to follow them? Allah is the one who created these laws to start with. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created the fire to burn, can make the fire an air condition. Ibrahim alayhi salam landed in this fire that burns. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the fire because the fire is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ.
O fire, be cool and peace, tranquility on Ibrahim. It is said that Ibrahim later would say that the most pleasant moments that I had in my life were those moments when I was sitting in the fire. The best moments that he had in his life, the most peaceful moments, were those moments when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the burning fire, قُلْنَا كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. O fire, be you coolness and safety for Ibrahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change everything for you. Allah made the sun stop for Yusha bin Nuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the sea split for Musa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made all diseases vanish under the hand of Sayyidina Isa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the moon split for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the fire coolness and safety for Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do whatever He wants for the believer. We have to have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tawakkul that Allah will give you victory if you follow the orders of Allah. You don't need anything else. You don't need anything. All what you need is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All what you need is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. And what was the dua of Ibrahim when he was thrown in the fire? حَسْبِي اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Allah is sufficient for me. Allah is enough. I do not need the help of anyone. Allah is sufficient for me, and He is the best disposer of affairs. I do not need anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says in the hadith, narrated by al-Bukhari, Ibn Abbas said, حَسْبِي اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ قَالَهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ حِينَ أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ وَقَالَهَا مُحَمَّدٌ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ حين قالوا إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. Ibn Abbas says, حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. Allah is sufficient for us and the best disposer of our affairs. Ibrahim said it when he was thrown in the fire, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it when he was threatened and told that the enemies are gathering for you, so fear them. That made them increase in their iman, and they said, Allah is sufficient for us and He is the best disposer of affairs. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was threatened that the enemies are mobilizing and gathering to fight you, so fear them. The people were telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fear the enemy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. That made their iman increase. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَأَرَادُوا بِهِ كَيْدًا فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَخْسَرِينَ.
And they wanted to harm him, but we made them the worst losers.
وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we saved him and Lut to the land which we blessed, and we'll get to that inshallah, the hijrah of Ibrahim later. After this event happened, the king of Babylon at that time was a Nimrod. So Nimrod heard about this young man who performed this miracle. Who is he? Bring him forward. So they brought Ibrahim alayhi salam, this young man, to debate with the king, and Nimrod, the powerful dictator, tyrant, and Nimrod. So Nimrod had this debate or dialogue with Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim told the king, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives life and the one who takes it away. Can he do that? And Nimrod said, yes, I can give life and I can take it away. How? He said, call two people from jail. Call two men from jail. So they brought these two men from jail. He commanded his soldiers to execute one of them, and he told the second one, you're free. He said, see, I took away the life of this one, and I gave the life of the and I gave life to the other one. Ibrahim didn't mean this foolish, shallow meaning of giving life and death. Ibrahim was talking about the miracle of life which is occurring in every single moment of the day and night. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving life in every single moment of the day and night to a new creature. That is the meaning that Ibrahim alayhi salam meant. But Ibrahim is not going to go and argue with the king in this point. And this is a pointer to the way of in debate. If you find that the opponent is trying to trap you with an insignificant point or discussion, leave it. Ibrahim did not respond to this. Ibrahim completely changed the subject. And since he saw that this man is stubborn and is going to debate and dialogue with this way and argue in this fashion, I'm going to get him from another angle to close the discussion with him. I'm not going to go down that road with him. So Ibrahim completely left the issue of life and death alone, even though there's a lot that could be said in it. But Ibrahim did not debate that point. Fine. He chose another point. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the sun from the east, bring it from the west. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so the disbeliever was utterly defeated. He couldn't speak. Ibrahim shut him up with this argument. As I said, this is a pointer to discussion, because you could have discussed the point of life and death with him and told him, no, this is not what I meant. What I meant is this and that. And it would be an endless, fruitless discussion. Ibrahim chose another angle and threw an evidence on him that cannot be rebutted. And he shut him off. That's it. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides not the people who are wrongdoers. Allah, I'll read the ayah to you.
أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ إذ قال إبراهيم ربي الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأت بها من المغرب فبهت الذي كفر والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين.
Have you not thought about him who disputed with Ibrahim about his Lord, Allah, because Allah has given him the kingdom? When Ibrahim said to him, my Lord is he who gives life and causes death. He said, I give life and cause death. Ibrahim said, verily Allah causes the sun to rise from the east, then causes you to rise from the west. So the disbeliever was utterly defeated, and Allah guides not the people who are zalimin, the wrongdoers. We can see in this discussion that Ibrahim has a strong level of yaqeen, a strong level of conviction, certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the issue of life and death, Ibrahim alayhi salam had ilm al-yaqeen, certain knowledge. His knowledge was certain. It cannot shake the iman of Ibrahim alayhi salam in this point. He knew that Allah is the one who gives life, and he knew that Allah is the one who takes it away. But Ibrahim alayhi salam wants to reach to the level of aynul yaqeen. Aynul yaqeen is certainty by seeing or witnessing. Ibrahim had ilm al-yaqeen, the knowledge of yaqeen, certain knowledge. But he wants to reach to the level of certainty with witnessing or seeing. So Ibrahim alayhi salam has no doubts in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this argument that he made with the king is based on certain knowledge. You can't argue like that about life and death when your knowledge is shakable or your iman is shakable. Sometimes we read the ayah that I'm going to read right now, and we think that Ibrahim had doubts in Allah. No, he didn't. He had ilm al-yaqeen, certain knowledge. But he just wants to reach to the level of aynul yaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remember when Ibrahim said, my Lord, show me how you give life to the dead. Show me. He wants to see it. That does not mean that Ibrahim does not believe in it. Ibrahim does believe in it. And his argument with the king was based on that belief. But he wants to see it. So Allah asked him, قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ. Allah said, do you not believe? Ibrahim said,
قَالَ بَلَا وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي.
He said, yes, I believe, but to be stronger in faith. I do believe, but I want to be stronger in faith. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Ibrahim alayhi salam, take a bird, four birds. Slaughter them, chop them into pieces, grind them, ground birds. Grind them together. Mix these four birds together. Mesh the flesh so it's inseparable. And then split this mixture into four parts and put one part on the top of a mountain. So you have four mountains, a quarter of this ground birds, put a quarter of it on the top of a mountain. And then call them. So Ibrahim put these four quarters of ground bird on the tops of these four mountains, and then he called them. He said, come. All of these birds came together alive. Four birds. So Ibrahim witnessed the miracle of life in front of his eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قَالَ فَخُذْ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ فَصُرْهُنَّ إِلَيْكَ ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم.
And remember when Abraham said, my Lord, show me how you give life to the dead. Here Allah said, do you not believe? Ibrahim said, yes, I believe, but to be stronger in faith. Allah said, take four birds, then cause them to incline towards you, and then put a portion of them on every hill, and call them,
they will come to you in haste. And know that Allah is Almighty, All-Wise.
Ibrahim alayhi salam made da'wah to his people. And after all of his efforts, and the miracle of Ibrahim alayhi salam being saved from the fire, nobody believed in Ibrahim alayhi salam except his nephew. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَآمَنَ لَهُ لُوطُ.
Lut believed in Ibrahim. Lut is the nephew of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. After all of this effort, after this miracle happening in front of the eyes of this nation, nobody believed in him except his nephew Lut alayhi salam. And they had to leave. They had to flee from the persecution and the oppression of their homeland. They had to give up the land of their birth and the land where they were raised up and go and find another land to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَقَالَ إِنِّي مُهَاجِرٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ.
I will immigrate for the sake of my Lord. Verily, He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. Where was Ibrahim alayhi salam heading? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we rescued him and Lut, in English Lot, to the land which we have blessed for the mankind, for the world. And the blessed land is the Holy Land, Ash-Sham, which is composed today of four countries, because everything in the Muslim world has split up. In the past it was Ash-Sham. Now it is Syria, Palestine, Lebanon, and Jordan. And the center of it all, and the holiest of it, is Jerusalem, Bayt al-Maqdis. This is the direction Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was heading for. On the way, he passed through a land called Harran in Ash-Sham. And the people of Harran used to worship the stars. They had a very pretty flexible religion. They would go out at night time, and they would look at the sky, and everyone would make a choice and pick a star, and they would worship. That was their ibadah. Somebody would worship Venus, someone other would worship another star, and they would, that's how their religion was. It's not very different of what we think of as modern religions today. Ibrahim alayhi salam had his own way of da'wah. SubhanAllah, Ibrahim alayhi salam had his style of da'wah. You remember how he made his da'wah to his people? He went and destroyed all of the idols and then he hanged the axe on the biggest idol. Ibrahim over here, how is he making da'wah to these people? He went out with them at night. They went out to worship. The first star that comes up is not a star, it's a planet. And that is Venus. It's the first star that shines in the sky after sunset. It looks like a star, but it's not, it's Venus, the planet Venus. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, this is my God.
فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ رَآ كَوْكَبًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي.
When the night covered him over with darkness, he saw a star, he said, this is my Lord. In front of everyone, he said, this is my Lord. And then the planet set. He said,
فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ قَالَ لَا أُحِبُّ الْآفِلِينَ.
I do not like those that set. This cannot be my God because it sets. And then he saw the moon. The next day he said, the moon is my Lord.
فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْقَمَرَ بَازِغًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي.
When he saw the moon, he said, this is my Lord. And then the moon set. So he said,
فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ قَالَ لَئِن لَمْ يَهْدِنِي رَبِّي لَأَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الضَّالِّينَ.
Unless my Lord guides me, I shall surely be among the erring people. So he said in front of everyone, if Allah does not guide me, I'm going to be one of those who are misguided. And then the sun came up.
فَلَمَّا رَأَى الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرُ
This is my Lord, it's the biggest. And he pretended that he's worshipping the sun. And then the sun set. And then finally, Sayyidina Ibrahim said,
فَلَمَّا أَفَلَتْ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ إني وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض حنيفا وما أنا من المشركين
I'm indeed free from all that you join as partners in worship with Allah. Verily, I have turned my face towards Him who has created the heavens and earth, Hanifa. Hanifa is on the straight path, and I am not of those who are mushrikeen, the ones who associate other gods with Allah. So Ibrahim is doing this presentation in front of everyone. Now, there are some mufassirin who tend to think that in these ayat, Ibrahim was searching for the truth. So they give the explanation that Ibrahim did not know the truth, and he was searching for the truth, and in the end, his search for the truth led him to worship Allah. So in the beginning, Ibrahim started worshipping Venus, and then he worshipped the moon, and then he worshipped the sun. Finally, Ibrahim knew the truth, and he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Al-Mufassir ibn Kathir strongly disagrees with this. He says this cannot be true. He said we cannot expect from a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be misguided, to worship the sun and the moon and planets. He said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human being on fitrah of Islam, if that's the original creation, how could a Nabi of Allah be misguided so bad that he would worship these stars and planets and not know the truth? And he mentioned some other evidences to refute this claim that this is the story of Ibrahim searching for the truth. He says, no. This was a da'wah presentation that Ibrahim was given to the people. And he said this comes after the da'wah of Ibrahim to his own homeland. This comes after, because after Ibrahim left, then he went to Harran, and in Harran the people used to worship the planets, not the homeland of Ibrahim. In the homeland of Ibrahim they used to worship the idols. So after he moved out of Iraq, and he got to Harran, he saw the people worshipping these planets, then he started giving them this presentation. Also, Ibn Kathir says that the ayah that comes before these ayat that I recited to you clearly shows that Ibrahim alayhis salam was already given the guidance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this ayah is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, thus did we show Ibrahim the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, that he may be of those who have faith with certainty. This ayah is before the ayat that are talking about worshipping the sun and the moon and the star. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we have shown Ibrahim the kingdom of the heavens and the earth so that he can be of those who have faith with certainty. With certainty. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has disclosed to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam some ilm, some knowledge of the heavens and the earth that other people don't have. And this special knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has disclosed to Ibrahim would elevate him to the level of muqin, certain faith. How can we then say that Ibrahim was searching for the truth? The word muhajjah or hajjahu means they debated with him. We find that this word was not used with any other prophet more than Ibrahim alayhi salam in Quran. Ibrahim was continuously in debates and dialogues with others about Islam. He made a debate and a dialogue with the king. He made a dialogue with his people. And over here he's making this debate and dialogue with the people of Harran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَحَاجَّهُ قَوْمُهُ قَالَ أَتُحَاجَّهُ يحجوني في الله وقد هدان ولا أخاف ما تشركون به إلا أن يشاء ربي شيئا وسع ربي كل شيء علما أفلا تتذكرون وكيف أخاف ما أشركتم ولا تخافون أنكم أشركتم بالله ما لم ينزل به عليكم سلطانا فأي الفريقين أحق بالأمن إن كنتم تعلمون
وحاجه قومه or it could be in general this is because قومه could be referring to his people but the ayah says his people disputed with him He said, do you dispute with me concerning Allah while he has guided me? And I have no fear from those whom you associate with Allah in worship. I fear nobody except Allah. My Lord comprehends in his knowledge all things. Will you not then remember? And how should I fear those whom you associate in worship with Allah while you fear not that you have joined in worship with Allah things for which he has not sent down to you any authority? So which of the two parties has more right to be in security if you but know? Ibrahim is saying, why should I fear your gods when I have Allah with me? You are the ones who should be afraid. This could seem to be a regular statement. What's the big deal about it? But think about it in the right context. Ibrahim alayhi salam is one. And he's facing the whole. And he's telling them, I'm not afraid of you. And I'm not afraid of your threats. And I have no fear of your gods. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me. Imagine you standing alone against the nation. It's not simple. Facing the whole society telling them, I'm not afraid of anything. I have no fear of your gods, no fear of your threats, do whatever you want. And then he is not only telling them, I don't have any fear, he's telling them, I feel very, very secure. And you should feel insecure, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on my side, and you have no one to help you and support you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms what Ibrahim has said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is those who believe and confuse not their belief with any wrongdoing. For them only there is security. Only for them is there security. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they are guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide peace and security for the believers. وَأَنزَلَ سَكِينَتَهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed his sakina, the tranquility, on the believers in some of the most critical moments, in Badr and in other difficult situations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the mu'mins peace and security and tranquility. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that Allah is the one who has given Ibrahim that hujjah, that ability to debate.
وتلك حجتنا آتيناها إبراهيم على قومه نرفع درجات من نشاء إن ربك حكيم عليم
And that was our proof which we gave Ibrahim against his people. We raise whom we will in degrees. Certainly your Lord is all wise, all knowing. Ibrahim now made his hijrah out of Harran. SubhanAllah, Ibrahim alayhi salam lived a life of hijrah. So he left Harran and he went to Egypt. When he got to Egypt, the news was carried to the king of Egypt at the time that there is a man who is accompanying the most beautiful woman. They were referring to Sarah radiallahu anha. And this hadith is in Bukhari. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ibrahim never lied. Except three times. Ibrahim never lied except three times. And you'll see that these three lies don't even count as lies. Two of them were for the sake of Allah. And this is, I'm narrating to you the hadith. Two of them, اثنانِ منها في ذات الله, two of them are in the sake of Allah. When he said, إني سقيم, and when he said, بل فعله كبيرهم هذا. When Ibrahim said, I am ill, I am sick, and when he said, the big one is the one who did it. You remember when we talked about the people of Ibrahim, that they would go out, they had this special night in which they would leave their town and go out and celebrate? All the town, they would leave. They would vacate the whole town. They would all go out and celebrate. So they wanted Ibrahim to come with them. But Ibrahim had a plan. He wanted to stay behind because he had a plan in mind. But he can't stay behind except if he has an excuse. So they told him, why aren't you coming with us? He said, I'm sick. What they understood is that he's physically ill. What Ibrahim meant inside is that he is sick of what they're doing. So that's a lie, because they understood something that he didn't. He meant something other than what they understood. The second lie is when Ibrahim destroyed all of the idols, he hanged the axe on the big idol. And then when they came back and said, who is the one who destroyed the idols? Ibrahim said, he did. Now obviously Ibrahim knows that he's not the one who did it. But Ibrahim wants to drive a point home. He wants to tell them, go and talk to your gods. Go and seek help from them, if they can do you any help. So these are the two that were done in the sake of Allah. The third one, when the king was told that there's a very beautiful woman accompanying Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sarah, they wanted to take away Sarah from Ibrahim and give her as a slave to the king. They came to Ibrahim and they asked him, they said, who is this woman with you? He said, this is my sister. He didn't say, she's my wife. If he said that she's his wife, they would kill him and take her, because they don't want the husband of this woman to be alive when she's with the king. And then he went to Sarah and told her, listen, there's nobody on the face of the earth believer except me and you. And they have came and asked me, what is your relation to me? I said, you're my sister. So do not disapprove me. Tell them you're my sister. So they came to Sarah and said, what is your relation with this man? She said, he's my brother. They took Sarah. And they took her in to meet the king. And the king wanted to place his hand on her. She made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, oh Allah, take care of him. His hand was paralyzed. So he told her, ask your God, ask Allah to heal me and I will leave you alone. So she made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heal him. So his hand was moving again, he extended it again. He betrayed his word. He didn't keep his promise. She made a dua another time. His hand was paralyzed another time. He said, make a dua for me. She made a dua for him a second time. And his hand was released. He tried to grab her for the third time. He requested a dua. She made the dua for him. His hand was freed. He said, إِنَّمَا جِئْتُمُونِي بِشَيْطَانِ. You have not presented me with a human woman, you have presented me with a devil. He let her go, not only that, but to ward off her evil, as he thought, he gave her a gift. He gave Sarah a gift, our mother Hajar, as a slave. Sarah now went back to Sayyidina Ibrahim and she had this gift with her, Hajar. And that is the story of Sayyidatina Hajar. In Sahih al-Bukhari, it mentions that Ibrahim alayhi salam circumcised himself. He received the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill this sunnah of fitrah. And Ibrahim did it when he was over 80 years old. He circumcised himself without any anesthesia, without any painkiller. He did it himself, immediate following of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though he was over the age of 80. And up to that moment, Ibrahim alayhi salam had no children. He reached the age of 80, no believers, no children, leading a lonely life, he's patient, sabr. Sarah told Ibrahim alayhi salam that you can have Hajar as a wife. Sarah is the one who gave Ibrahim the permission. So Ibrahim married Hajar with the hope that they would have a child. And then Ibrahim was given the bishara of Ghulam Halim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Ismail alayhi salam with Hilm, which is mild and gentle and forbearing. While Ishaq alayhi salam has been described in Quran as Alim, knowledgeable. So the ayat that say Ghulam Halim, a forbearing, mild, gentle child, are talking about Ismail. And the ayat that say Ghulam Alim, a knowledgeable child, are the ayat talking about Ishaq alayhi salam. There's an interesting verse in the Bible that I want to recite to you, because it not only gives the glad tidings of Ismail, but it goes even further. This verse in the Bible is in Genesis 17:20. It says, And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. So the Bible is saying that Ismail is blessed, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply his children, and his children are the Arabs. And 12 princes, out of the descendants of Ibrahim, will be 12 princes. There is a hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, there will be on this ummah, 12 khulafa, all of them are from Quraysh. 12. And Quraysh are from the direct descendants of Ismail alayhi salam. And this verse in the Bible is talking about 12 princes, and the 12 princes are 12 khulafa. 4 of them already passed, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. Some would include Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. For sure we know about the 4, and then Al-Mahdi is one. Also, and there are a few others left. Not only is the Bible giving us the glad tidings of Ismail, but it's also talking about the 12 khulafa that will rule on this ummah. If we have only 4 or 5 or 6 of the khulafa that passed, we have more than half left. And that's the good news for this ummah. In Fath al-Bari, the commentary of al-Bukhari by Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he says that when Ibrahim carried his young child and Hajar in their hijrah, Ismail was about 2 years old of age. Ibrahim alayhi salam commanded his wife Hajar to accompany him in a long trip. So they started this long traveling, Ibrahim and his wife Hajar and their young child, Ismail. And then suddenly in the middle of nowhere, desert, dry, barren, infertile desert. No settlement, no people, no houses, no villages, nothing. In the middle of nowhere, Ibrahim stopped. And he told his wife Hajar and her son to stay there. And he left with them a sack filled with dates. And he left with them some water. Hajar couldn't believe what's happening. How could we be left over here in the middle of nowhere? Desert. So she followed Ibrahim alayhi salam. Are you going to leave us here? Who are you going to leave us with? There's no plants, there's no people, there's nothing. Who are you going to leave us with? And Ibrahim is not answering. And he's walking away. He didn't even look back. And she repeated the question, who are you going to leave us with? He's walking away. She's following him. Ibrahim, how are you going to leave us here? There's nothing here. There's no people. And Ibrahim is completely ignoring her and not even looking back. Then finally she asked him a question. She said, is this a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Finally, Ibrahim alayhi salam responded and said, yes. سيدتنا هاجر said, إذن لن يضيعنا الله. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not neglect us. That's it. She didn't talk with him further. Allah told you to do this? Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of us. He will not neglect us. This is the iman of this mother, Hajar, the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is her iman. She's in the desert, dry desert, no one is there. She doesn't even have enough food. All what she has is dates and water. Something that we would complain about if we're told to live on for one day, not to make a living off water and dates. And her husband is leaving her alone, a helpless mother. Hajar sat down. She would breastfeed him and she would eat from that dates, drink from the water, until she ran out of dates and ran out of water and ran out of milk. Now Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam is crying and weeping. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam described him and said, يَتَلَوَّى. He was curling. Ismail was curling on himself because of the hunger. And he was hitting the ground with his feet. And he was crying as if he was dying. At that moment, Hajar could not sit down any further. Even though there's nowhere to go, but she couldn't handle seeing her child dying in front of her eyes. So she went on top of a mountain that was close to her. She climbed that mountain. And that mountain is As-Safa. And she looked from top of the mountain if she can see anyone. She saw no one. She walked down the mountain, and then she ran through the valley, and then she climbed another mountain. The name of that mountain is Al-Marwa. And she got to the top of the mountain, looking around if she can see anyone. She saw no one. So she walked down the mountain, ran through the valley, climbed on As-Safa again. And she kept on doing that for 7 times. And that is the sunnah of Sayyidatina Hajar that we are doing today in Hajj. Every one of us is making that sign. Subhanallah, Sayyidatina Hajar at that moment was afraid, had fear in her heart. She was running with worry. If she knew what will happen, she would be climbing those mountains with a big smile on her face. If she knew that the nations of the world, millions and millions of them, are going to follow her tracks and follow her sunnah and follow her way, she would be making that trip with a big smile on her face. And this is the rizq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to you from the doors that you don't expect. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. If you have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for you rizq from places you never expect. When she got on top of Al-Marwa, and that's the end of the 7th shot, the 7th climbing, she heard a voice. So she said, Sah. Quiet. Who's she speaking to? She's speaking to herself, out of confusion. She's telling herself, be quiet. And then she's trying to listen. She heard a voice again. She said, لَقَدْ أَسْمَعْتَ إِنْ كَانَ لَدَيْكَ غَوَاثِ. If you have any help, I'm able to hear you. Where are you? And then she looked around to see in the spot where Ismail alayhi salam was laying down, the child, the 2-year-old child, the helpless child, the child that is crying, helpless. She saw an angel, leader of the angels, Jibreel alayhi salam, descended specially to that spot where Ismail alayhi salam was laying down. And the angel started picking up the dirt with his wing or with his foot until water started flowing from the ground. Rizq of Allah. Rizq of Allah that came for a helpless child. So she came down, Sayyidatina Hajar. This water of Zamzam came out through divine will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A commandment to the angel Jibreel. When the water was coming out with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidatina Hajar intervened by making a pool around the water. Because this water was coming out in a desert. So she thought that this water is going to flow on the sand and go in the earth and she's not going to see it. She intervened and she started saying zam, 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 zam. And she's collecting dirt around it to make a pool. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if Hajar would have left it alone, it would have been a flowing river. She intervened in it. If she would have left it alone, it would have been a flowing river. But she intervened, and it became the well of Zamzam. Now Sayyidatna Hajar has water, but she doesn't have food, and she doesn't have company. So she still needs the social needs and psychological needs. There was a tribe called Jurhum, an Arab tribe, Bedouins, traveling in that area. They saw in the sky birds hovering. Birds in the desert means water. They said, we know that there's no water over there, so what are these birds doing? فَأَرْسَلُوا جَرْيًا أَوْ جَرْيَيْنَ And this, all of this that I'm mentioning to you is from a long hadith in Bukhari. So they sent one or two men to go and investigate. So the men went rushing. They came back with the good news that there is water in the middle of the desert. This group of Jurhum, they moved towards the source of water and they came there, they arrived there to find this woman and her child. So they asked a strange question, and they got an even stranger answer. Their question was, would you allow us to camp here? Would you allow us to camp here? What is strange about this? These are a group of men, fighters, in the middle of the desert, taking permission from a woman and her child. If they wanted, they could have eliminated her with a move of a hand. With a strike of a sword, she could have been over with. But they were very noble. So they came and asked her that strange question, would you give us permission to stay here? Because in the desert, if you have water, that's where you want to be. And they got a strange answer. She said, yes, but you have no rights in the water. The water belongs to us. And what's strange about that answer? The strange thing about it is that she is in no position to negotiate and bargain. And she is nevertheless saying, you have no right in the water. If you want to stay here, you have to stay on our terms. The water belongs to us. But they accepted. They said, yes, we agree. And that is how Jurhum came to stay in that area. And that is the beginning of the settlement. Now let me go back. When Ibrahim alayhi salam left Hajar and her son in that spot, Ibrahim walked away until he got to Athaniya and he made dua for them. It's not easy for a father, very old, to leave his only son and his wife in the middle of nowhere. It's not easy. We do not feel safe leaving our families alone in settled, established, secure areas. It wasn't easy for Ibrahim to leave. So he stopped and made dua to Allah because that is who we seek help from. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ We seek help from no one but Allah. And he made a dua. What was the dua of Ibrahim? He said,
رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أسكنت من ذريتي بواد غير ذي زرع عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة فاجعل أفئدة من الناس تهوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون.
O Allah, I have left my descendant, my family, in a valley that is barren and dry, infertile, no rain, no trees can grow in that place. Why? لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ So that they may establish prayer. In that moment of difficulty, In that moment which we would naturally think about the safety and the food and the drink of my child and my wife, Ibrahim alayhi salam is thinking about salah. Something similar to it, because the Sahaba are trained under the head of the Anbiya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was talking about the Dajjal, and Rasulullah said that the Dajjal will remain among you for 40 days. One day is equal to a year, one day is equal to a month, and then one day is equal to a week, and then the rest of the days are like your regular days. So one day is equal to a year. The Sahaba had a question about that. One day is equal to a year. What do you think their question was? I mean, Rasulullah is talking about the big fitna of a Dajjal. And he's talking about a day that is equal to a year. What is the thought that came on the minds of the Sahaba? They said, هَلْ تَكْفِينَ فِيهِ صَلَاةَ يَوْمٍ. Is it enough for us to pray in that day like the prayer of one day? The Sahaba are thinking about Salah in the time of a Dajjal. Rasulullah is talking about a Dajjal and the fitna of a Dajjal, and the Sahaba are thinking about Salah. Anyway, Ibrahim said, لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, so that they would establish prayer. And then he made the dua of the other needs. We're not saying we don't seek assistance from Allah to give us rizq. No. We don't say that we don't seek assistance from Allah to provide for us from dunya. No. We ask Allah for that. But we have to give good right proportion. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. We ask Allah for dunya and we ask Allah for akhirah. So Ibrahim mentioned the duty of Islam, and that is the establishment of salah. And then he said, فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَرُزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. So make flocks of people, love them and come to them, and provide from them fruits. Subhanallah, that dua that was done in the desert, in the empty desert. Look at the fulfillment of the dua of Ibrahim. People are coming from all over the world to that place. There's no place in the world that is more loved than Mecca. Because of the attraction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in that house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given an amazing description to the house of Allah. Allah says, جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتِ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ. مَثَابَة, when the young camel goes to play, after it plays for a while, it has to go back and see its mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the house of Allah is mathaba. You go there, you get stuck. The love of the house of Allah enters your heart, and then when you leave there, when you leave from Mecca, you're always homesick. You want to go back and see Kaaba again. And that is something that many people describe. They say that when we see Kaaba for the first time, then that's it. We're hooked to it and we can't leave it for a long time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the love of this house in the hearts of men. A fulfillment of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the people of Jurhum, they stayed there. And they raised up Ismail and they taught him the Arabic language. Because Ibrahim was not an Arab, neither was Ismail. They were from Mesopotamia, Iraq, the Chaldeans. Jurhum, they taught Ismail the Arabic language because he grew up with them. So he learned the Arabic language. فَأَنْفَسَهُمْ, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they adored him. They loved him so much. They married him, one of their daughters, and he lived with them. The mother passed away, Hajar. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam would make some visits. Ibrahim alayhi salam is traveling always. So he visited Mecca, and he came to the house of Ismail alayhi salam, and he knocked the door. So his wife opened the door. Ibrahim said, where is your husband? She said, he's not here. So Ibrahim asked her, how is your living? She said, miserable. We're having a miserable life. And she complained. Our food is not good. Our water is murky and thick and dirty, salty. So Ibrahim alayhi salam said, أقرئي مني السلام وقولي له يغير عتبة الباب. Deliver my salams to him. He didn't even tell her who he is. He said, deliver my salam to him and tell him to change his doorstep. Ismail came home, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as if he felt something. Subhanallah, he felt it. He felt that his father was there. He didn't see him, and his wife, he didn't even say. And he asked his wife, did anybody visit us? She said, yes, an old man came and he asked about you. And he told me to deliver salam to you and to tell you to change your doorstep. Ismail said, that was my father and he's ordering me to separate from you. You're the doorstep. So go back home. And he divorced her. People of Jurhum, they loved Ismail so much, they married him another wife. Ibrahim made another trip a while later, knocked the door, Ismail wasn't there, so he asked the same questions to the wife. He said, tell me about your living. She said, Alhamdulillah, the best living. And she praised the lifestyle that they're leading, the simple lifestyle that they were leading, she praised it. She was happy and content. Mar'a saliha, righteous woman. So Ibrahim wanted to get more details. He said, what food do you eat? She said, we eat meat. What do you drink? Water. That's all what they used to have, meat and water. No desserts, no appetizers, no side dish. Meat and water only. So he made dua for them and said, oh Allah, give them blessing in their food. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says they did not have grains at that time. They did not know wheat and barley. If they had it, he would have made dua for them to bless them, to bless it for them. But he didn't have it at that time. But he made dua to Allah to bless for them their food. And then he said, when your husband comes back, I deliver my salam to him and tell him to keep the doorstep. So Ismail came back. He said, did anybody visit us? She said, yes, an old man came and he's delivering you salam and he's saying, keep your doorstep. He said, that's my father. You are the doorstep and my father is telling me to keep you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. This is a dua that Sayyidina Ibrahim made. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me a righteous offspring. Ibrahim alayhi salam reached to over 80 years old. And he didn't have any offspring. Didn't have any children. And he didn't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide him with children per se, but he said, min as-salihin. He has to be righteous. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me a righteous offspring. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ.
We gave him the glad tidings of a child which is Halim. And Halim is gentle and mild and forbearing. These are the akhlaq of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. And Ismail grew up away from his father in Mecca, as we mentioned. And then when Ismail reached to the age in which he can go out with his father, in the age in which he became an adult and is able to take responsibilities for himself, this age which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعْهُ السَّعِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when his son was old enough to walk with him, old enough to walk with him, means that Ismail alayhi salam has grew up and now is able to take care of himself. And he's able to take responsibilities. And that is when the father starts seeing himself in his son. When your son is a child, you raise him up. But when your son is an adult, then you see the continuation of your life in him. And that is the age which Ismail alayhi salam reached. When Ismail started to go out with his father, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam saw a dream. Sayyidina Ibrahim saw a dream. And we know that the dreams of the Anbiya are wahi. In that dream, Sayyidina Ibrahim was slaughtering his own son.
فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى.
Oh my son, I see in my dream that I am sacrificing you. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What do you think? What is your response? Ibrahim, he will fulfill the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt. But he didn't go, and Ismail is in his sleep and suddenly sacrifice his son. No, he told Ismail, he said, this is the dream that I saw, tell me what do you think. The answer of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam should be studied deeply and taken seriously by the society that we live in. This society that gives no rights to the parents, in which the children have no morals in the way they deal with their parents. In a society that would give rights to everyone, even to the perverted, but it would give no rights to the parents. In a society where the state has more authority over your children than you do. This response of Sayyidina Ismail needs to be studied very carefully. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam said,
قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرُ سَتَجِدُنِي إِن شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ.
O my father, do what you are commanded to do. If a parent would tell his child to provide for him, the son or the daughter won't. And in the end of their life, they're dumped in an elderly house. And Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam is giving the most valuable thing that he has, and that is his life. It's not a matter of providing for his father material provisions or taking care of some needs of his father. He's giving his father his life. He's giving away his life. And again, I say that's important to study by us, the Muslims, because we are living in a society that has that gives no rights. The only group that have no rights are the parents. They have no rights whatsoever. They are a disposable thing. They just raise up the children, they bear them, and they take care of them, and they work for them, and they sacrifice for them. And then, when the children reach the age of 18, they have no obligation whatsoever towards these parents. And that is by law. The parent cannot take anything from their children after they reach the age of 18. By law, nothing. The child does not have to obey, does not have to provide, does not have to take care, because it's an individualistic society. And it's affecting the Muslims. It's affecting us because we borrow from the environment we live in. Sayyidina Ismail said, do whatever you are commanded to do. If'al ma tu'mar, do whatever you're told to do. Whatever Allah commanded you to do, do it. And then he said, ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين. You will find me of those who are patient, inshallah. He didn't say you will find me patient, because we cannot guarantee our actions. We have no guarantee over what we're going to do this moment, let alone in the future. Everything that we do, we need to realize that it's tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who made it accessible for us. And that is why we don't say that we're going to do it and put an end to it that way. No, we say we're going to do it inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us in doing so. And that is why in every salah we say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, guide us to the straight path. It's you who will guide us. Without your help, we cannot do anything. Without your help, we cannot worship you. And that's why we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every good deed that we do. And then we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He allowed us to thank Him. ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ.
Then when they both submitted themselves and he had laid him on his forehead. The position Ismail was in, he was laying on the ground and his father was holding the knife over his neck. When they were in that position, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it as follows.
فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ.
When they both submitted. And the word أَسْلَمَا and Islam come from the same root. The root of the word أَسْلَمَا and Islam is the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Ismail and Ibrahim, they submitted. When they were in that position, they were submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is Islam. Because Islam is submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You fulfill the commandments of Allah, even if it's against your will, even if it's against your desires, even if it's against what you like. Nobody would want to slaughter his son. And no son would want his life to be taken away. But they're doing it as a form of worship, ibadah, and that is Islam. Submission. This is the meaning of Islam. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ When they were in that position, Ibrahim alayhi salam had the knife on the neck of Ismail. And he started to pass the knife over his neck. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Ibrahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا
You have fulfilled the dream. You have fulfilled it. The dream is fulfilled. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him,
إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينُ
Verily, that indeed was a manifest trial. It was a test for you. And you have passed the test. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need the blood of Ismail? Does Allah need the flesh of Ismail? Does Allah need the life of Ismail? Allah doesn't need it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ
Verily, that indeed was a manifest trial, and we ransomed him with a great sacrifice. It was a test from Allah. Allah does not need the blood. Allah does not need the flesh. Allah does not need to take away the life of Ismail alayhi salam. This was a test, and they both passed in the test. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded Ibrahim alayhi salam with the sacrifice, a ram. Look at the results of taqwa. It was an action of taqwa that Ibrahim alayhi salam did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded him for it. And now we sacrifice in Eid al-Adha and al-Hadi in al-Hajj every year following the sunnah of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or actually the ayat say,
وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ سَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ
And we left for him among generations in later times, salam. After this event happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we left salam for Ibrahim in the generations to come. And what is the present representation of that? What is the representation of the salam on Ibrahim? How is that manifested? It is in the tashahud that we do in every salah. The tashahud that we do in every salah. We make salah and salam on Ibrahim and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ سَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ And we left for him in the generations to come, peace on Ibrahim. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant Ibrahim peace in every salah. Millions and millions of believers all over the world, throughout generations, five times a day and more, are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant Ibrahim alayhi salam peace. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
Please proceed to the next CD.